It's time once again for another splendid edition of the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. We are right here at 30 Rack Way, beautiful New Windsor, Illinois. I am super happy to be back in studio. I'm Steve. Next to me is Doug.
Yo.
Got Eric.
Yo, yo, yo.
Kurt.
What up?
Some special guest, Turkey Slayer, Austin, or I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Lord Chandler.
How art thou?
thou art good. I don't speak old English. And then we got a super tall Brennan.
Hello.
Because I remember your name on Instagram.
Yeah. Yep.
Brennan Jensen. He's the newest member of what was Team Hang and Bang, Team WCB now. I had to get rid of the Hang and Bang. So welcome.
Gang, gang.
Welcome to the studio.
I'm excited to be here.
And did you introduce Eric?
Yeah, I did.
Like it. I'm like almost last now? You used to like go this way, but now you go the other.
Because you're not important anymore.
You switch your rotation.
Yeah. Because do you not save the? Because you save the best for last, right?
Yeah, nice save.
All right, good. I'm just trying to keep my job.
Sick.
You're fired.
Yeah. Hey, you give a veteran shout out.
I do. You. Let's get right into that.
It's good to see you guys. A smile.
I know.
Faces.
It's kind of weird, ain't it?
I know.
It is weird.
It's been a while.
I just want to get something out of the way before we get to this veteran shout out. Fuck Zoom podcast. Fuck Skype. Fuck any sort of video conferencing. It's good to get you by, but it's not the same. And if any other nerd podcaster tells you that's good, they're lying to themselves. Because in studio, they're saying that because they don't have a studio to podcast.
Right, right.
Dude, you know what sucks? I have to, for my apprenticeship, so we got class, and obviously with the stay-at-home order. And we do hope everybody is staying safe out there. And, you know, make sure you're taking precautions. Don't do anything stupid 6 feet from ugly people. You know what I mean? Dude, we have to do all our classes on Zoom. And I was, like, so happy we were done with Zoom. So, yeah, for all next week, all my class, or not next week, a week after. Yeah. I'm like, damn it.
There was a video I seen. This guy was in class at college. And he was sitting there cleaning a turkey on the Zoom video.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
I've started seeing people like little Dicky like popped into someone's just like randomly, like they invited him to class and he just showed up. Like they're trying to have biology class or something. It's amazing.
Yeah, but I do think that we are essential because we get to go in some working class people's earbuds that are essential at work, and they can't listen to the radio. Jesus.
Yeah, we're technically media, so we're providing you guys news and information. So
real shit for once.
We'll take that as
very essential.
I'm glad we're essential. All right, guys, vet shout out this week is paratrooper Eric Graham from 3/504. I know you guys are laughing at me. I don't know how to pronounce those numbers go. Parachute Infantry Regiment, 82nd Airborne Division. He's a Desert Storm vet. He actually just drove from Alabama and is in Boston currently helping his girlfriend, who's a nurse, at the Medical Aid Hospital against COVID. He's a hard dick, tight-lipped, rock-solid paratrooper who will fight until Valhalla. Airborne all the way. And
hard day.
From a good buddy of ours, Gene. He said, thank you for your service. And we want to say thank you for your service, Eric. We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
And also, as a little side note, but Gene did wanted to say also thanks to all the first responders and medical folks out there helping fight the virus. So that's from Gene. And again, all of us, too.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coronavirus.
It's crazy out here.
Corona.
Dude, can someone call in a turkey yelling coronavirus? That'd be amazing.
If your pattern was good.
All right.
If your your rhythm. Good turkey rhythm. The podcast is presented by HHA Sports.
That's right.
Steve, what's your favorite thing about HHA?
Other than Scotty Bakken, I would say the fact that it's made in America. I would say the fact that single pins have changed the way that I want to hunt and how I really have to focus on how close something is, learning to judge distance. It just made me a better archer.
What's our code?
WCB.
And it's a 15. Lifetime warranty, 15. People.
There's a lifetime warranty.
Thank you, Eric. And the podcast is also brought to you by Scent Crusher. And Eric, what's your favorite Scent Crusher product today? I get Sorry. Everyone who's drinking.
Yeah.
I was taking a drink of beer. Right now, the room clean, actually. And run the shits out of that.
That's fair.
The shits out of it.
Nice. Yes.
Hell yeah.
We just did a podcast with Dan a few weeks ago about how we're not claiming that it can kill coronavirus, but ozone is proven to kill viruses. So yep.
I told my wife that. She's been running that bitch everywhere in the house.
That bitch has been running everywhere in the house?
That bitch Carol Baskin?
Yeah, that bitch. Carol Baskin.
The podcast is also brought to you by Thermoseat. And Doug, you're going to tell me why you like Thermoseat.
Why do I like Thermoseat? Their seats are amazing. They got the D-wedge.
That thing saved my ass last weekend.
It's super nice.
Literally.
Don't sit up against the tree anymore with your back hurting all the time, or a fence post.
Stay off wet leaves, you know.
Yeah, stay off wet leaves. Just chill in there and support yourself.
That's right. And support Thermoseat while you're supporting yourself. You know
exactly.
what I'm saying?
Ooh.
Good people. Mm. That's kind of an Americana-ish hunting brand, right? Thermoseat's been around for...
They've been around for fucking ever, haven't they?
Yeah, I think early Since 80s.
For a long 80s. Fucking time, dude.
A true working class company. Joey's dad started making them by hand and brought one to work. And one dude's like, hey, you should start selling these. That's how that company started, which is cool. Victory Archery. Austin, why do we like Victory Archery?
I've been shooting them 3 or 4 years now. Just good, solid, consistent arrows, man. You wipe the blood off of them and go again.
Yeah.
I'm rocking the 60-grain stainless outsert on mine. Put a little FOC up front, and the Rip TKOs are nasty, man. I got a dozen ready to go bear hunting.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, I love those arrows, Rip TKOs. We've killed a lot of shit with them. Flung a lot of arrows. Mm-hmm. Flung a lot of long-range arrows, some hits and some misses. And they are durable. I like them, man. It's my favorite arrow I've ever shot. Mm-hmm. I'm literally saying that because I believe in it, because we shot them before we were partnered with them, but we're partnered with them because we kind of hunted them down because we liked them so much. So, the podcast is also brought to you by Gator Outdoors. They are the newest official partner of Working Class. Wade Borman, basically Working Class guy, started his own lifestyle brand. Is he live in Bellevue? He's in Bellevue, Iowa area.
Somewhere up that way.
Got
yes.
a great group of people supporting Gator. He puts out some great merch. Really proud. They're outfitting the working class is what they go by. We got a cool partnership going on with them and True Timber. And more is going to unfold with that. But I think Wade's going to be at Turkey Palooza. And once things get normal again, we're going to get him in studio to talk about what's to come. A lot of exciting things in the works there at Gator. So check them out at Gator Outdoors, Facebook, and all the goodies. You all right over there, man?
No, there's like a little, just slapping little piece of fuzz like floating right in front of my face. Get the hell out of here.
Podcast also brought to you by Elite Archery. We're shooting the Ritual. I'm shooting the Ritual 35 for turkey season. Actually, you know what? Fuck that. I think I'm shooting my wife's Elite Spirit for turkey. I'm going to try and decap some. Turkey Palooza. I've never decapped a turkey before, so we'll see if the old Elite Spirit can do it. It's got pink strings, so look out. You know. Oh, also, we're doing a giveaway with Elite. The link is on our social pages, and I need to link that on our website, but that ends June 10th is when we'll pick a winner. So.
Yeah, so you better get to it.
Yes. Podcast also brought to you by Lone Wolf Custom Gear. Talk about all the time. They have a new group called Mobile Hunters United on social, and the camera arm, the .5 is on the way. Everything's kind of held up because of the COVID right now. But when orders are back open, you can use code WCB, save yourself some money. Also, big time, if you're getting food plot seed, use code WCB2020, save 20% on big time food plot seed. Hunter's Blend Coffee, Old Barn Taxidermy, and Can Cooker, and Loophole Optics. We're very thankful for all our partners, very proud to be partnered with the companies we work with. It's nice that we can truly say we have friendships with every one of our partners, and it's not just some dude who's cutting us a discount just so we can talk about it and seem cool. Like, it's products we truly believe in, and if anything ever happens with that, we'll tell you about it. Like, if we have a bad experience, we'll be honest, because fuck it, right?
We should all like create fake names and become like have like fake personas and become pro staffers on teams, like not like a Rhett Daniels thing, but yeah, like, well, we're like
an alter ego.
Yeah.
Great idea.
What was Garth Brooks's
Chris Gaines? Do you never go full Chris Gaines?
Dude, we're going full Chris Gaines, getting that 10% off insert whatever company here.
You know what would be actually, hold on. You know what? Continue the conversation. Remind me. We already have our alter egos. We just don't know.
Yeah, we do.
We do.
Let me.
I know about this?
I don't know. I do want to touch on this. We mentioned Hunter's Blend. I made a coffee rub, and I smoked a pork butt with that. And let me tell you boys something. That shit was amazing. If you want the recipe, I will give it to you, and I will give you a step-by-step instructions. You know,
whammy.
I forgot about that.
Oh shit! Oh my god, look at, dude. Hey, you should post that picture and like be honest, ladies, how much of a pro staff discount can these fellas get?
So I just busted out. You guys haven't seen this yet, have you?
I have not.
We've seen the picture of it, but not in person.
So we have this ridiculous photo of all of us dressed in either as cowboys and shitty Goodwill business suits.
And it's very fitting.
We're all incredibly drunk in this photo. And we are outside of the limo, the working class limo, and I think we're at a gas station.
A shitty gas station. Yeah.
I can't remember who took the picture.
The gas station.
Dude, that was the only gas station where the two chicks, and they were like, dude, there are some really good looking chicks working behind the counter. It was wild.
I had it full color printed on this big, like, foot and a half wide foam board that's going to go up in the studio.
Wait, who was driving the limo that day?
That we paid some high school kid.
Oh, yeah.
And we made
Balin, my buddy Balin.
We made him wear a Hawaiian shirt the whole time, too.
Yes.
Dude, remember it was so hot that day, and the AC doesn't work back there.
We pulled back into Austin's place at the end of the night, and that dude hopped out of the limo and hopped his car and took off.
He didn't even say bye.
No. I think he had a lady friend waiting on him. Yeah. Plus, he was just sick of our shit by that
time. We were all drunk. Drunk rednecks.
No, we don't do that.
Talking about the real business of this podcast, first of all, thank you guys for coming, Brennan and Austin.
Yeah, thanks for having us, bud.
Thank you.
Right now in podcast land, it's fourth season right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow starts.
Yep. Okay, so by the time this airs, it'd be opening day of fourth season in Illinois. Austin, first of all, congratulations, man.
Thanks.
Killing the turkeys.
Yeah, getting lucky this year.
Dropping them.
Yep.
Let's talk about that, because we'll build this into what Turkey Palooza is, because I know people have been hearing us chat about it here and there.
Yep.
But let's...
Chitter chatter.
I mean, explain, you know, you had three tags, and if you want to just break it down hunt by hunt, let's do that.
Yeah. So. Well, in Illinois, you can get three tags. I like early season, number one, because the birds haven't been called at. They don't know your tricks. You know, they haven't seen anything, so that always helps. And plus, I'm usually not planning in the first week that season starts. It's just usually on the cold side, so it works well for me. So I got a first, and then my landowner tag's valid for all five seasons.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep, so I get a landowner's, and then I had a third. So first season comes in, I never miss opening morning. I always like to sneak out. Even if I'm working, I go out for at least a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like right off the roost. It was windy, cold. It was like 30 degrees with a 20-mile-an-hour wind. It was nasty out.
I remember that day.
I remember getting up going, I'm glad I'm not turkey hunting.
Yeah. You got to be hardcore to go out and shit like that. But
for turkeys especially. I mean, deer, it's different because you're like, we'll see deer.
Yep.
Turkeys, you picture like rolling green pasture and the sun's beaming off the feathers and it's gobbling and you're like, man, it's nice autumn and short sleeves. That's what I picture.
Yeah, it felt like a November rut hunt. So the way you can beat that, you get in a nice double bull blind where it's, you know, it's breaking all the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Must be nice.
I was hearing a few gobbles way off down in the bottom to the west of me, and I was kind of looking there, and this was like right off the bat. I mean, it was light at like 6 o'clock. And it was like 6:20. I look over, and this bird's full strut 60 yards from me. There was a hen that was coming in, and she started looking like back on the opposite side of me. And I look over, and this bird's full strut 60 yards coming in. I'm like, shit, right off the roost, man. It's going to work. Filmed him. I'm self-filming. He comes in, and he goes to my decoy, and he's like 17 yards. And he's kind of walking away like he's not going to commit. So I went ahead and shot him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I must have dropped my arm or something. Shot him low, hit him low. Ended up not finding that bird. They're tough to hit. I mean, you're talking about vitals the size of your fist.
For sure.
Even at 17, 20 yards, you can, you know, things
and you're
can,
trying to pick your spot through feathers, which is tough.
It is. So that bird gets away, and after I reviewed the footage, that bird, I was telling Brennan on the way up, that bird's got like 1.5 to 2-inch hooks. He's got freaking monster hooks on
him. No kidding.
Yeah, he was a bruiser.
Maybe Turkey Palooza, he'll meet his fate.
That's what I'm hoping. I told Brennan, I said, maybe tomorrow he'll come limping back in.
Oh, there you go. Hopefully you get him.
He's going to die in the morning.
I hope so.
Ooh, I like it.
Knocking on wood.
You think he's alive still?
Yeah.
I think he is, yeah. I walked up and actually kicked him up about 2 or 3 minutes after I shot him, and he took off flying, flew for like 100 yards and never found any blood. So I think I was just under the goody on him. But
a little bit of meat and some feathers.
What's that?
A little bit of meat and some feathers.
Yep, a lot of feathers, and that was about it.
They're dinosaurs, man. He's going to be just fine.
He'll be fine.
They're tough as shit, too.
They're a weird bird.
Yeah, like, so I was pissed. Like, I was in the blind for 30 minutes, and I'd already screwed up. I'm like, well, that's a lovely way to start the season. So I sit there, and if you wait, like I was telling Brennan, if you just sit up on top in this pasture farm and you just wait, there are going to be birds that come to strut in this top field. Just set your decoys out there, call every half hour, just let the decoys do the work.
Mm-hmm.
I was just packing my shit up. It was like 9 o'clock. I'm like, all right, I'm going to pack shit up, go to work. I already had the camera off the tripod, busting up the tripod. I look up, I see two fans on the neighbors. There's a fence separating me, like 80 yards from me, there's a fence,
mm-hmm.
and they're like 100 yards on the other side. So long story short, they're running up and down the fence. They're so dumb, they can't figure out how to get across the
fence.
That
blows my mind. That proves to my point where I'm like, turkeys are so dumb, they're hard to hunt.
Yeah. I'll just say my view on this. They have a brain the size of your thumbnail. Like, they're not an intelligent animal, but their senses, their eyesight is so on point that it makes up for how stupid they are.
Yeah.
Hey, Doug, that's why you leave the gate open for them.
That's why you leave the gate open when they come right in.
I mean, that's a good thing to think about, you know. It's people think, oh, they're so dumb to look up in the rain. It's like, well, then there'd be no wild turkeys, so let's get real.
Yeah. Right.
But
so okay. They're the exact opposite of a honey badger, which honey badgers learn how to use tools to get around shit. Literally watch a documentary. That's how bored I've been. Fucking honey badgers putting up rocks so they can get out of shit.
I'm glad
serious.
You're like, you know.
They're the exact opposite animal.
I'm glad you're educating yourself on, like, turkey hunting or actual hunting, like something that, like, we're working on trying to make our profession.
Just watch Planet Earth and you'll be a good, yeah. Be a good turkey hunter.
I can't remember the name, but there's a specific honey badger that's named in the zoo. It's wild. It's like Stromboli or something weird.
I care about Austin's turkey hunt more than I care about
anywho.
That.
Anywho.
It's amazing. It's an animal that I would like to hunt.
Dude, don't make me mute you our first day back in the studio.
I guarantee it's going to happen, too.
It might.
So I look up. I see these two fans. Finally, they figure out how to get across the fence, and I can just see the titties flopping. They're running. Uh-huh. You see the breast meat just bouncing.
the titties.
They're flopping. They get in. They're running. I got the video camera on. I click my GoPro on, and they're two birds at, I think I had the decoy at like 15 yards. They're mm-hmm. both right in. Draw back and smashed him on film, and he goes down.
You're body shooting these birds.
I'm body shooting them, yep. So I smashed him, and he goes down, and the other bird, I mean, I could have probably shot him at 30 yards, but I didn't want to punch two tags in the same morning and be done that fast. So
I would have done that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, me too. I mean, like, man, these birds, nah.
Well, the other one got away, and the bird I shot was a good, you know, two-year-old bird, nice full fan, long beard.
Yeah.
So opening morning, got my bow bird. I was pretty pumped. So the next morning I pack up, I go down to my new farm, and it was so windy again, I couldn't hear anything. So I just take off walking to the north side of my farm, and I could start hearing the gobbles. Well, I set up and I could hear birds real close, like within 100 yards. I set the decoys up, let out a squawk. I mean it, and on this one, I have no blind. I've got my ass on the ground, my back to a tree,
mm-hmm.
and I'm shooting a long bow. Keep in mind, I don't have a seat or anything I'm sitting on. So I'm shooting a 35 off the ground, sitting on my ass.
Damn, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I can hear these birds coming behind me. I'm like, all right, it's going to happen right now. I got the bow up. And there's four Jakes, and they come out, and they are just beating the shit out of my decoy. Like, within the first couple minutes, he's sideways. Like, he's barely hanging on the stake. They're on top trying to breed my hen. This is at 12 yards with no blind. It was just awesome.
All Jakes?
All Jakes, all four of them. Uh-huh. Yep, they're gobbling. They're breaking in and out of strut, beating my decoy up. It was awesome, but I'm like, easy on the DSD. You know, that's a $200 decoy. Don't
expensive,
fuck him up on the second day I've ever had him.
Holla, 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 holla.
Holla at your boy.
You should you need to share that story about the holla holla turkey.
Okay, so let's tell that at the end.
That one's coming.
I didn't know it was about a turkey.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So after they beat my decoy up, I bet they were on that decoy 3 or 4 or 5 minutes.
No kidding.
And I thought, well, maybe they fooled me. You know, I thought I heard a long gobble in there. I thought I heard a mature bird, but maybe it was just the Jakes.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, in the background, run. It just hammers. It's like 60, 70 yards. I'm like, oh, yeah, here he comes.
Here we go.
So I creep the release up, put it on the D-loop, and there's no blind, and there's birds within 15 yards of me. So
scary.
You got to be super still, deliberate.
Yeah.
And my head's just frozen. I'm looking out on my far left peripheral, and I just see two black blobs just running. They're just screaming in.
Uh-huh.
And they both get in. And the one bird spins his fan to me where he can't see me. So I do the draw, and of course, all the other birds can see me. They kind of start getting nervous doing the high thing. Yep.
Or whatever. I don't know what the term would be for that. They all start the stretching. Yep. They're high heading.
They start giraffing.
Yeah.
So I got Drew back at 12 yards with 4 Jakes and 2 Longbeards on the decoy, and the one that I was going for didn't see me, and I smacked him.
Nice.
So he would run 10 yards and toppled over. So
that has to be a good feeling. That's a tough thing to do, is kill a bird with no blind.
I'd hit one before but never recovered a bird, and that was 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So TJ Unger and Brady Miller kind of motivated me to try to kill a bird with no blind.
Because they do that every year, don't they?
They do it, and they film it. They film it, and that's even harder.
Yeah.
So very hard to do.
That's what makes me so nervous about turkeys, is they get so close, and I know how spooky they can be, that I start getting uneasy when they start getting that close. Like when I can tell the story at the end if we have time or another podcast. I got one of my best friends, Tyler's first bird ever last week, and it was a Jake, and I was like, dude, that thing's right on us. Like, shoot the fucking thing. Let's go. I'm getting nervous, man. I don't like to let them hang out too long. So
it's fun to watch them interact with that decoy, though. Like, if you have the nerves to just sit there and watch them a little bit, that's when it gets fun. Like,
yeah.
To watch them at 10 or 12 yards just pecking at the decoy, and you can see their mouths opening. I mean, you really get to see a lot of cool shit if you can wait.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't know. I almost need to go out and hunt them with no tag and just sit there with no weapon or nothing, just watch them like come up to the decoys. I think I would learn a lot in one sit about spring turkeys on decoys, you know?
Yep.
Because I'm pretty green when it comes to that.
If they commit, if they're running and they're coming to that decoy like that, chances are they're probably going to spend a couple minutes there just farting around with that decoy. So you got some time to kind of just chill and watch them. But I know you're a deer hunter like me. It's all about timing. So you want to draw ahead of time.
Yep.
And when that shot presents itself, you want to take it.
Yep.
But with turkey hunting, if they're going to commit to that decoy like that, usually you have a little wiggle room there.
Yeah, I think I'm running in. They're about to beat some shit up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly, you nailed it right there. I'm a deer hunter. So my mind is like, okay, he's going to pass through, draw, there's your opportunity, shoot. Okay, you know.
That's exactly what I do when I shot mine.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that's kind of how you killed your bird.
He came running in. He gave me the opportunity. I shot him because by the time I seen him, I shot him, went out and got him. It was 1 minute.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I mean, think I've a spring bird on decoys. Shit. Have I done that? I don't think I've shot a bird but never recovered it in Kansas. But the other one I did a Mohican sneak on.
Yeah, because they held up.
Yeah, with no blind. And
that's even tougher.
Yeah. And it was a real unique circumstance. Some of it was luck, but it's a tough motherfucker to do. But
yep.
So 2 birds in 2 days, right?
Yeah, 2 birds in 2 days.
You stud, so, man.
Yeah, no
kidding. I was having fun. It was just the cards were falling right. Everything was falling into place.
I was having fun.
It's hard to argue with your numbers, man.
Usually with turkeys, it takes 4 or 5 times of going out to get something to work out, but I got lucky. Yeah. And then I went and hunted with Ross one day, and he hit a bird, and we didn't recover it, so This decoy setup that we're using, I mean, I think I've hunted 4 days and killed 3 birds, shot 4, recovered 3. And I think out of the 7 or 8, I think I seen 8 birds, I think 7 committed to this decoy setup. I mean, it's...
What are you running?
It's a DSD full strut Jake with 1 breeding hen.
Full strut Jake.
Full strut Jake.
What do you run, Doug?
I run the mating pair with the breeding hen on the ground and then the Jake's on top of it.
Yeah.
So it's like it's breeding it.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I don't know how we did our deal. I bought a lay down hen, an Avian X lay down hen, and then what's that Avian X that you had that
it's
I got
like
off
a of? Quarter strut Jake.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's what my buddy killed his bird off of.
Yep. But I killed a lot of birds with that exact decoy.
Really? Yeah.
Yep.
So okay, so you're running full strut Jake.
Full strut Jake. You actually put your own fan on him. You can put a fan on him, and I like broke about a third of a fan off, so he just got like a little V fan.
Yeah.
Put that on him, kind of bang it up a little bit, and put that on him.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. Sweet. Okay, so that's obviously killer. So the point of the smaller fan is that an intimidation thing? Like, it's not intimidating?
If a bird is being a little bitch,
fair,
and he sees a little bitch, he's going to be more likely to come in.
Yeah, he's going to try and big dog it.
You don't want to come in and fight Jeremy Beck.
No, I would, but I don't want to.
Would not recommend it.
Yeah, no, the more you can, in my theory, the more you can beat up feathers or bust a feather off or...
Yeah,
you know, whatever you can do to make that bird look inferior, I think the more likely another bird's going to be to come into that decoy and be dominant over it.
What if you just didn't put a tail fan on it?
I don't know. I never tried it.
I wonder if it would have the same effect. What do you think, Brennan? Effect? You're a turkey guy.
I doubt it.
What if you just put two feathers?
I don't know.
I like the movement of the feathers. Everything just looks so realistic with that fan. It adds a lot of realism when you can see actual feathers. But that's a good point. Maybe we'll have to try that at Turkey Palooza.
It would be interesting, right?
A whole one feather.
What if you just put,
one feather. One feather out the back.
Just call them old one feather.
Old one feather.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. I mean.
We're going
to
do it.
It would look like, what the hell's wrong with that guy?
It looked kind of silly since the decoy is made in full strut.
Yeah.
And there's no tail fan.
I mean, maybe that. I mean, there's probably some turkey experts. They're probably not listening to the show, but they're probably like, what the hell? But
like, I wonder if you just cut out a piece of cardboard in the shape and stick it in there. You know what I'm saying?
There's a lot of companies that sell decoys that are like fake fans where you just whoop, you spread them out.
Yeah.
And they don't look as good as a real fan, but it works. I've killed birds with decoys like that.
That's in the day, like the first strutters.
Yep.
The Avian X full struts, those are the cloth or whatever.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, that's what they come with.
I know. I bought an old Flextone, like, it's just like a half of a body, and that's what it came with, like a foldable deal, which I don't know.
What the hell is it? I got that one that you could always get them at, like, Farm and Fleet or
whatever. Flambeau ones?
The Flambeau, yeah. And, like, the head, like, you got to let it, you got to take an air dryer to it or, like, a hair dryer to it to let
the head. Looks like your three-year-old kid drawed a chicken, and that's what his head looks like.
Like somebody 3D printed something. Yeah.
It's like a fucking rubber
chicken.
They're,
like, $6.
Yeah. I hunted with it. I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't successful.
I'm sure those decoys have killed a lot of birds.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
They have. Okay, so we got two down. You got three tags.
Three tags, yeah. So I punched two in 2 days, and third season my next tag came in, and I hunted that morning, had a bird, an old bird. This Zelkie farm of mine has like four old dinosaurs on it. I've never been able to kill one. I've been hunting them for like 3 years. So he comes in, he's not running, but he comes all the way into 40 yards. He's full strut, and he's just sitting there looking at it for like an hour and a half. He's back out to 100 yards with his hen and just won't commit. So I kind of pulled a curd on him. I got impatient, and I just busted out of the blind and left him.
Yep. Sounds like me.
Guilty. So
for the record, I was texting Austin when I was hunting. I was like, hey, fuck these birds, man. I got to poop.
I'm out.
Pretty much.
So I kind of blew my chances on shooting three in 3 days. So that bird got away. But the next morning, Ross could get away from work. So I'm like, well, let's go out. We'll go down to my new farm. We'll try to get one in. We sat there in the rain 3 hours, never heard a gobble, seen two hens, never saw a longbeard. We got impatient. Ross is like, let's go back to Jurassic Park. We're going back to my place.
Mm-hmm.
So we go back north of his house. There's always birds. We busted a longbeard off walking in. He was already strutting there where we were at, getting his blind, and we weren't there 20 minutes, and I think we called like one time. And this bird comes out in the field, and Ross was looking at him. He's like, I think that's the exact same bird that I saw do this like a week ago. He's like, he's going to sit there at 100 yards. He's not going to come in. I'm like, I'm just going to mess with him. So,
okay, hold on. Can I back up a sec? You guys have been trying to kill a bird together for a long time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we'd probably had, 20, 25 sets together trying to film one of us shoot a bird.
Yeah.
And just can't get it done. We're cursed.
Yeah. But this is the first hunt in the new little get around vehicle, right?
I didn't bring that. I didn't bring that to Ross's, but it has not yet had blood on it. That's coming at Turkey Palooza.
You got to throw it on top.
Okay, so he kind of makes this prediction on this bird.
Yep, he's like, I already know this bird. We're screwed. He's not coming in. I'm like, well, I'll just mess with him then. So I get real aggressive on the call, like three or four yelps.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you can just tell, like, his head's beet red, and he won't look at the decoy. And he's dinking around. He's like pecking at the ground, acting like he's feeding. And then when I call, he's just like, he's looking away. He'd go back in the timber and like hide from us and then come back out. I'm like, I just keep playing with him.
Yeah.
And
he was fucking with you too.
Yeah. He was. I honestly didn't think it was going to work. And after about 45 minutes, he just 10 yards at a time, he'd walk and he'd peck at the ground and he'd look at us. And he got it within about 80 yards. I'm like, dude, I think he's going to do it. He's going to come in.
Yeah.
So he ends up coming all the way in, and Ross is running a nice camera, so we get all this on film. But he comes in, and he won't commit to it. He's just kind of sketched out by the whole thing.
Yeah.
So he goes to go around the back of the decoy. He's probably at I don't know, about 20 yards, and I could tell he's getting ready to leave, so I do the slow draw, and you could see his head start.
He knew
something was going on.
Yeah.
He was about 20 yards, and I let one fly and just smashed him. And you could see him run off. I'm like, he's donezo. He flopped over.
That's awesome,
Ross,
man.
And I were high-fiving. We're like, yeah, it finally happened. So we were pretty jacked.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I saw HHA posted the photo of you and your bird.
Yeah, Ross said, let's go back. Let's get my good lens. He's like, I've only got my wide angle on me. Ross is a camera geek. I'm not.
So yeah.
We go back. We get his good camera stuff and set up and take some pretty epic product stuff and some hero shots. And,
yeah,
some good stuff for HHA. They shared the picture. Got a cool bourbon barrel picture in there.
Yeah, very cool. How many birds do you think you've killed?
I just counted up spurs the other day. I like to keep spurs. I think I'm missing like my first five, but I think I had 38 or 39 sets of spurs.
No kidding. Yeah. You made a necklace out of them or something?
Yeah, I got like two necklaces in my little display case there in the living room. So
that's pretty cool. I need to get me one of those.
Well, I got one.
Yeah. Yep.
I got one bird.
There you go, man. Yeah, are you doing a fan mount on yours? Is that the deal?
No, I'm not going to.
What the fuck? You're not?
No.
What are you doing with it?
The fan?
Yeah.
I threw it in the garbage.
No, you did not.
I swear to God.
You just don't care to have turkey feathers, huh?
No. I mean, they're cool and stuff, but I don't even know where to put it.
You put it in the studio.
Put it in your garage.
I could have. It's gone now.
Are you kidding me?
You threw it away.
Dude, did you keep the spurs? You keep the beard?
Yeah, the spurs and the beard.
All right. If you're keeping the spurs, dude, I throw all my fans away, but I've got 10 of them. I mean, I just don't keep them. But, yeah, dude, you got to keep the spurs and make you a spur
necklace.
Dude,
we could have put it right there on the wall.
Yeah, we could have.
I've literally moved deer heads to hang up my turkey fans.
So really?
Yeah. I'm seriously going to mount every Austin. And Austin got me into turkey hunting, I don't know, I think it was 2012.
Well, let's do this. Before you go into that, tell us who you are and a little bit about your background, because we haven't given you the working class introduction yet.
Yeah. So I'm not.
Sorry to put you on the spot like that.
No, no worries.
Our listeners are cool. You can fuck up. They won't care. Don't, seriously, trust them.
That's the good thing about this.
Like, fuck this guy.
Tall ass motherfucker.
Tall fucking ogre looking.
6'8 looking mother.
Grab your torches and pitchforks.
It's a giant.
Yeah, hi,
it's a huge
everybody.
Bitch. That's a huge bitch.
Dude, yeah. Carol Baskins couldn't even feed you to a tiger.
I know. Tiger would have walked away and said, nah,
too much meat.
I'm fucking with that guy.
Not hungry.
No, I'm Brennan Jensen. New to the gang here. Coincidentally enough, grew up about 4 miles north where we're podcasting at right now.
And, which is crazy.
Yeah, crazy, crazy. Good old North Henderson, Illinois. Mm-hmm. Is I think it's a population of 150,
maybe
200 people.
Yeah.
Depends on who's pregnant or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Which,
depends on the mess supply that year.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was a bumper crop year.
It was a good season or not. Must have rained a lot.
North Henderson's good for. We're talking Matherville is a neighboring town.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll see somebody out on the population sign with a Sharpie, X-ing it out. +2, -2 every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah. Simple math.
-2.
Updated every day.
Yeah. So, no, but about 3 years ago, I moved down south by Springfield for my job. Still got some places to hunt up here. So,
yeah.
Turkey season for, I think, it was either 2012, 2013. I went with Lord Chandler.
Mm-hmm. You're blessed.
Your Majesty. And
Your Highness.
He got me
his high neckness.
Yeah.
Right. Keep it up. I'm going to make you carry my robe behind me when we walk out to the timber.
Dude, it's all the turkey fans.
I'll put you on my shoulders, carry you out to the blind.
Don't let it hit the ground.
He's got everything awesome just walking out there.
To be more successful, he didn't make me put this throne inside the fucking ground behind him.
Carried a fucking lazy boy out there.
Yeah. That's amazing. So you've been hunting turkey since 2012?
Yeah, well, I think it was 13 because I got to thinking about it. We tried for like 3 years prior. And for some reason, I just thought it was me. It was bad luck because Austin would go 3 times and kill 3 turkeys. And,
been there.
And then the fourth time he went hunting, he'd take me and we see like a sparrow or a robin and that's it. And but yeah, we finally got it done, man, and I was hooked after that. So Austin and I... lucky enough, have a pal like him. He takes me turkey hunting every year. Lets me turkey hunt on his farm. So
very cool.
I'm up north for the weekend.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah, I met you last year when you were out at Chandler's place.
Yep, yep.
Pretty cool, man.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I think I think we just killed your bird.
We did that day.
That day, oh, and yeah, then you met right. Kurt that day.
That's yeah. right. And then you'll be at Turkey Palooza this year, right?
Yes, sir, next weekend, yep. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Hell yeah.
So, yeah,
And we got to add, too, like, you didn't add this in. You are a big butt killer for anyone.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm just freaking king of the 140s and 150s, which there's nothing wrong with
hey,
that.
No, me too, bro.
Yeah, yeah, I just, you know, I'm sitting in the stand and I get a picture from Austin and there's a 180-inch Megalodon meat sack on my phone from him. And I'm like, all right, I'm just going to go ahead and pop this 145 and we're going to call it good.
It's just too hard to pass a 150,
know,
man.
I can't, but I'm getting to the point now where I have like 10 deer on the wall and they're all in the 140s and 150s. I need to start being a little more picky.
We're in the same boat, man.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
hard though.
You're up in your game though. Like you got an opportunity at a really good deer this year.
Yeah.
Came really close on a good one.
Real close.
Yep.
Yep.
The big deer bigger than 150 just they don't come around.
They're, yeah,
they're people would be like, well, quit shooting the 150s and you'd have them. That is true.
Yeah. It's tough. Yeah. That I messed up on my what would have been my biggest buck, what Austin was just talking about. Mm-hmm. The famous shoulder shot smacked him right in the shoulder blade.
Oof.
And it sounded like a gunshot going off. And I just knew then. I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we never found him. Actually, the neighbor did find him here, I don't know, a month ago, shed hunting. And
found the sheds?
No, found him, the buck I shot.
Oh, really?
Found the deadhead and decided to he wanted to keep it.
So, oh, no kidding.
Yep. So, oh well, that's part of deer hunting.
Yeah,
that damn, happens.
Damn. I don't want to ask. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to ask questions about the deer because I don't want to like just sprinkle
yeah.
salt in your
yeah,
wound.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask you how big it was, but I don't know if I want to do that to you.
He would have mid 170s. He would have knocked on 180. He was. Oh. I'll show you pictures when later. But yeah, he that one hurt.
He was a big one.
That was November 13th.
When Austin did it, he was a big one. He's
yeah,
a big one.
Yeah.
Damn, man.
And I had just killed my mid 150s on the 10th.
Yeah.
Up here, like literally four miles from where we're at right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, and I got an opportunity at a 170s, 180, maybe 180s 3 days later. I'm like, talk about a record year, and just made it. It was a chip shot too, 30 yards, just hit him forward.
Yeah, man. That
shit
sounds,
happens.
Yeah. I kind of got into that mindset too this year a little bit because I shot a 150-inch 10
yeah.
In early November, and I was like, all right, well, I knew about creepy, you know. I was like, well, it's either creepy or the buck's got to be big.
Right.
And well, I was lucky and got creepy, but I'm kind of in that. It's hard for me to
me too.
Pass those deer. I mean, I feel like, Doug, you're kind of in that area too, but you got a buck that's in the 70s, don't you?
Yeah, at the 170 and then the 176.
Oh, yeah, yep. Yeah, so you're not in our club.
Dude, I've killed 140s the last 2 years. I can't get away from them either.
They just look good.
A nice solid 140s, like 4 or 5 year old buck. Yeah. Yeah, still gets me fired up.
You get a high 140s buck coming in. For people who, I mean, I see them, I'm like, it's a pretty good buck. I'm shooting it, you know. I'm not like, when I see that buck, I'm not like, oh my God, a 180. But if you don't have the experience and you see a high 40s or like a low 50s buck, it looks like a 170.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, it's like, oh shit, that's a big buck. And it is a big buck. We're not taking away from that. But
or sometimes when it comes in at the right angle, I mean, it really messes you up. It's a monster.
An 8-pointer that's in the 140s, in my opinion, is an equivalent to a 10-pointer in the 150s.
I mean, agreed.
I'll shoot a nice solid 140s 8 all day long if he's a mature deer.
Agreed. 100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. Some of my favorite deer are not my highest scoring deer. Like I have a buck in there that goes, he's a clean 8, I think he's 137, and just the way he sits on his head, he's like one of my favorite deer. Just the one of the prettier mounts I have, just his hair and the shape of his rack. And
he had beautiful hair.
He had beautiful hair.
His hair was perfect.
Luscious locks.
But, yeah, I mean.
6 fingers on each hand.
Where do you think, what would you call tipping the bucket over from? I mean, in your eyes, Brennan, let's talk about you a bit. In your head, what do you call a giant? How big does a deer have to be before he's a giant?
I've always thought.
Like, let me give you a scenario. You get out of the stand. You call Austin. Dude, I saw a giant. I saw a giant. How big a deer is that?
170 plus. To me, I've always put that 170 and up. To me, that's just a giant.
Yeah, for sure.
To me, I don't know. Which, you know, like Austin, he's got a handful of those on the wall. He's got a lot of them on the wall. I haven't seen a lot of 170s, yeah. 180s on the hoof.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? Same so when here. I do see those, I'm like, holy shit.
I missed a 170 once.
Yeah.
Typical 10.
Yeah.
But what about for you, Austin?
If I see a deer that's in the 160s, like I know that I'm probably going to get to see maybe a couple of those in a season, and I'm hunting, I mean, 70% of the days that season's in,
mm-hmm.
like a 160 plus deer is that's a giant for me.
Yeah.
If I see a 160s that's a mature animal, no brainer.
What about you, Doug?
I'd say 170 or bigger, but I was thinking at what point do you add fucking giant?
Right.
Yeah. Well, but
so when you say you saw a fucking giant,
but you know,
I mean, that's
you know what the difference between a 165 and a 170 is?
Yeah, that's true.
5 inches.
About 5 inches.
So see, when you break it down to that, it's like
it sounds weird when you break
shit,
it down like that.
Because it's tough. It's you can't pick inches on a deer running by.
Yeah.
Right. For sure. Yeah.
Steve, what is a giant to you? And you can be completely honest.
A giant to me is like a. Like if I'm looking at a deer and I can see a deer at a distance, I can see antler, I'm like, that's a fucking giant. In my
Hey, that's fair though. That's cool though.
Now I did have an opportunity and I saw a really, really big fucking deer. And I'm thinking this deer was close to probably 160. Fucking huge. It was too dark to shoot it, but like seeing that in person was just kind of a really mesmerizing experience. It was like, dude, you know, you always hear about deer like that, but to be able to see one, you know, where you're not just driving by and you just happen to catch a glance, like you're like right there in, you know, in the battleground, in the octagon, if you will. To me, that's a giant. That was a giant. But what would get me excited is just any kind of deer with antlers, and I can get a shot.
You're talking like 115, 120s plus.
Dude, yeah. If I see a 120, dude, I'm... Yeah. Fuck, this guy's getting smoked.
If it gets your heartbeat thumping, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You start getting...
You're going for it.
Getting,
for sure.
Dude, I see a little...
Well, I remember that point, though. I remember before I had my first good buck at all with a bow, I remember a guy we hunted with in Fulton County, Illinois. He's like, oh, yeah, I saw like a 130 buck. And I'm like, you did? And he's like, yeah, you want to go to that spot tomorrow? He might be there again. He goes, you'd shoot that? I'm like... Dude, yeah, I don't have a buck over 125. Right. Like, yeah, let's go. So, like, I relate with that. What about you, Eric?
I think that 160, 165 class.
Yeah.
You know, just because I don't see them very often. So when they do come in and you get that chance to see them, you're like, yep, that's a fucking giant.
Yeah, for sure. I'm kind of there. Like, I think if, like, 170, of course, is, like, where everybody wants to hit, that's, like, that point. Mm-hmm. But I think realistically, if like you put me on the spot and was like, give me a number what you consider giant, I'd be with Austin probably in the 60s. Like, I think a high 50s buck's a real good buck.
Oh, yeah, they're a rare animal, man. You don't see a lot of 160 type deer.
Mm-mm.
If you see one or two a season, I mean, that's a good season.
Yeah. I have a 160 block.
I like that my tolerance is low, that I get excited when any kind of deer comes in, dude. I'm like,
that's cool though.
But we're all jealous of that, because your opportunity to see giants is tenfold what ours is, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, look at it that way.
Yeah, it's a nice little experience. So,
We've all been in his shoes before.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
For sure.
Maybe I'll just keep it running, you know. That's why I'm thinking, if I'm turkey hunting, I see a Jake coming, I'm like, this Jake probably hasn't had sex either. I got a bad habit of killing virgin animals, so.
Still got milk on their lips.
That virgin blood.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that's what keeps me young looking.
Good thing turkeys don't have milk, so. Any turkeys you kill?
They don't. Yeah, because they gotta chew up.
You
like.
You thought about it, Luke?
Yes, he did.
I was like, oh, he shit! Was, I was like, dude,
turkey.
He hasn't been to that episode of National Geographic where the hell
dude,
he's watching.
Yeah, stuck on the fucking honey badgers.
Dude.
Dude. Dude, the honey badgers got milk, but that's something fucked up to think about. Yeah, the turkeys, the little chicks don't drink milk. They just, you know, eat regurgitated bug matter.
Yeah, so you just have bug matter on their own.
On your lips.
Oh, look, it's still got a little night crawler on its lips.
Okay.
You're such an idiot.
I like how we went from all turkey business to just like, let's talk about deer. Okay, yeah. Back to
hey,
deer.
Man, it's what we all want to talk about.
It is.
Dude, it's almost like, it's weird to think about.
And it's our first time back in what, like fucking 2 months?
Yeah, like, man, when's deer season
start? But dude, I was counting the months on my finger, like, because, you know, this whole shit we've been under for like 2 months. But you kind of think about it, we're getting close to that halfway point. If we're not already there, it's just
I had a really awesome guy message us out on Instagram, and he's like, hey, man, you got any tips for – I'm going turkey hunting this week. Can you have any tips for me? I'm like, I'll be completely honest with you, man. Like, I've killed a handful of birds. I was like, but I'm the most impatient turkey hunter. Like, I'll hear them gobble, and then I try to get as close as possible because I'm impatient as shit. And I was like, it's worked out for me, but it's also shot me in the foot more times than it's helped me. I was like, so go for it, man.
I've had a lot of people – get a hold of me over the last couple of weeks just because they've seen some success and I've posted some pictures.
Yeah.
If I was going to offer anybody advice, there's been a lot of archery guys messaging me. The easiest way in my book to do it, buy a good decoy, specifically a DSD. I mean, they're fucking awesome. They are expensive, but they are awesome. Buy a good decoy. If you haven't killed one with a bow yet, set in a good ground blind. Let the decoy do the work for you. Get in an open area like a pasture or a road or whatever where they can, the visibility is high where they can see that decoy, and let the decoy do the work. Like call every half hour and just let that decoy do the work, and you're going to have birds come into it.
It's good advice, man. Mm-hmm. I'm going to invest in a DSD. I'll probably check that decoy out that you have at.
Yep.
Maybe I'll kill a bird over it.
I think we might.
Let's talk about Turkey Palooza.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've given the rundown of what it was. I didn't get to go to the first one. This is the second annual.
Yeah. Last year it wasn't.
What were you busy doing?
Last year it wasn't really an official deal, but we just had so much fun with it. I just thought, why not make this like an annual spring get together?
We had a blast last year.
Oh, yeah. The weather's nice. You're out with your buddies. You're shooting at birds. You're hunting for mushrooms. We picked up 2 giant sheds, which probably isn't going to happen this year, but that was kind of icing on the cake.
Know.
But we had a freaking ball last year. So I thought, let's get all the boys together again and just try to make it an annual event. So this year we've invited a few more people. I don't know. There might be 10 people at it, but
I think most people are camera people.
Yep. Well, how many tags are we going to have? We'll probably have 3 or 4 or 5 tags in camp.
Yeah.
But it's going to be fun.
Yeah, then you 3 are all camera guys, aren't you?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I'll probably be after a bird.
Mushroom man.
Do you have a non-resident tag?
No, I'll be
you're the mushroom man.
I
was.
Oh, you are going to
walk around. I'll pop by in the afternoon.
Gotcha. Brennan, do you have a 5th season Illinois tag?
Nope, just for
so you're 4th. Guiding.
Yeah, I'm going to be tagging.
He's
going
to be a guide.
I got a camera.
Buying an out-of-state tag with my stimulus check.
You won't be able to get it.
No?
They're sold out, aren't they?
I think 5th is out. I think Ross told me 5th was out.
Because Wade from Gator, I think he tried to buy a 5th season tag, and they're gone.
Yeah. How much are they? Do you guys know?
I don't know if we're non-resident.
I don't. I would guess around 150.
Yeah,
I know
it's over. It is for sure over 100.
That's not too bad. I thought it'd be more.
I was like, what, 180, roughly?
I don't know.
I'll be honest
with you. It might be 200. Hell, I don't know. I was just guessing.
What was our Kansas tags? What did those cost when we went down there? 180 like, bucks, 200
yeah,
bucks?
Yeah, something like that.
Wasn't terrible.
No, it wasn't too bad. I mean, that's not bad for a turkey.
No, I don't think so. Not out of state and stuff, but
especially to go like a camp with some peeps.
Beautiful job. We are the studio here. When people get up to go to the bathroom, the studio door, the air pressure will pop the mics. It's kind of crazy.
So how many people are turkey hunting?
I got a tag.
Wayne Cox has got a tag.
Oh, Wayne Cox has got a tag.
Yep. If TJ and Brady make it, they both got tags.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to make it. Does Ross have a tag?
Ross has a 5th season, so there's 5.
Yep. And then... Hell, is that it?
I think that might be
and
it.
And then we have...
Do we have enough cameras for everyone?
Yeah, we got enough cameras. I mean, there'll be at least a camera person for each one, but the cool thing about it is it's each person can have a role. So if it's like if Doug and Eric are going to come with me or with whoever, like, hey, set the GoPro up by the decoys, somebody run the GoPro from their phone, like turn it on, and then somebody run the other camera, it can kind of be a...
Yep.
We can kind of do something.
Or if you need
that.
Celebratory beers, I'm your guy. Hey, yeah. I can bring them to you. Just send me some coordinates.
Yeah, I didn't hunt with anybody last year. We just mushroom hunted.
Right, which was fun.
That was a good time.
We didn't find many mushrooms. We found a few, but
I think I found zero.
We found two hammers.
I cannot see a fucking mushroom.
We found two hammer sheds, biggest sheds I found all spring. Doug found one, and I found one.
I'm the same way with mushrooms.
Dude, like Austin's like pointing at him. He's like, it's right there. I'm like, yeah, I see it.
I got to look in my backyard.
I did not see it.
Is your lovely wife going to be cooking again this year?
We should have some meats. Yeah, we should have some turkey. I got a couple breasts that we're going to unthaw, and we'll do some turkey kebabs and maybe do some turkey bites, like deep fry them.
That was what we had last year, right? Mm-hmm. I remember we had the fried up mushrooms. Oh, my.
I think I'm going to hit the I'm going to bring the old podcast equipment. We'll do the we'll just do the XY mic so we won't have like headsets and stuff. I'll just set it on the table and we can sit around it and chat.
Hey, we got to get practiced up for bear camp.
Dude, I know. Just thinking about that. What talk about the craziest. I'm sure we'll do a pre-hunt podcast soon, but this is the craziest hunt plan. Clint Casper calling you yelling at me. You're going to book this bear hunt. You're coming with. What? Where? When? Like, what's the details? I don't understand. Why are you screaming at me? It's Monday. I'm tired.
That's because he always screams.
That's pretty much how it went. And then Devin Leonard called me, and I've chatted with him, but, you know, I met him through Clint, and he's, like, all jacked up. Oh, dude, we could make the coolest bear camp. They got a spot left. Come on. So then it turned out, you know, we offered them to listeners and whatever. So basically, myself, Clint, Austin, Ross, a couple listeners, and Devin, Ty Glenn, Tay Young, the whole gang, all the Western boys meets Midwest out in Wyoming for bears.
When are you doing that?
May 24th, we leave.
Holy shit.
Damn.
Coming right up.
It's coming
is
up.
Is it the 23rd or 24th?
We leave the 24th. We fly back the 31st.
Cool.
So it's a full
week. Less than a month away.
Yeah, so I've been shooting my bow, and I've got to make sure I got a healthy supply of arrows, and it's going to be fun.
It's going to be a blast, man.
Yeah.
Just looking at that scenery, looking at those mountains, I can't wait, man.
It's going to be cool, and I'll say this. So the goal is that we're going to go back to the same camp next spring is what we're talking about. More details will come out, but we're hoping that we can have a working class camp out there and we can get some listeners to come hunt with us. That'd be the plan.
That'd be fun.
So we'll talk about it more. The plan is I'm bringing equipment with us for those in the canvas wall tents, and we're going to try and podcast in camp every morning or every night. I know I was talking to Trey, the guy whose place it is, and he's like, yeah, sometimes like once we make the trip back through the mountains, it might be midnight for you're back at the tent.
Right.
He goes, but we don't go out first thing in the morning. We get up and like cook breakfast and kind of hang out. So it sounds like we'll be too tired. I mean, maybe not. Depends. You know, I imagine we'll podcast after breakfast every morning.
Yeah, we can do a morning podcast.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it, man. Never hunted Wyoming before. Building points there.
I've never been either.
For elk. And
I've hunted Utah, Idaho, Colorado, but never been to Wyoming.
You're building points for Wyoming, aren't you, Eric?
Yep.
For elk?
Yep.
Are you, Doug, Steve, Brennan, anyone?
I should be.
I'll have two of elk, deer, and antelope this year.
I have two elk points. So two elk points, and I think I have one mule deer point there. And then I got four or five in Utah.
It looks like a pretty decent outfitter as far as mountain lion. The deer looks really good. The elk looks good.
Dude,
I mean,
the elk look unreal.
Yeah, like 300-plus bulls. It looks like a really good outfitter to be hooked up with.
Double Diamond Outfitters. Trey, I don't know how to say his last name. He's in Western Wyoming. So he seems like a really good dude. Talk to him, and he's like, I'd like to get out to the Midwest and see what one of them big whitetails is all about. I'm like, we'll have to have a conversation.
Might know a guy.
Yeah. We know some people. We could figure this out. So I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm excited. I'm a little nervous. Not nervous. It's just kind of like with the COVID bullshit, and then it's always unnerving to pack for a trip like that when you're used to your day hunts in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Because you know you're going to forget something.
Mm-hmm. The COVID stuff's going to suck. I don't like wearing a mask, but probably mask up because we're going to be going through three different hot spots on the way home.
I just read an email from American Airlines. We have to wear masks on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
They will provide them.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to wear them. I've been wearing a mask at work.
Ross already told me he's making Crown Royal bag mask.
Oh, shit.
Well, of course you would.
Leave it to Ross.
Wait, he can make probably 400 of them, couldn't he?
Oh, yeah. He can supply the whole plane.
Is Ross going?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he is? Awesome.
Yeah, that was my mom texted me today. She goes, hey, I made you a mask, and it was a little camo mask. I'm like, oh, shit, I can use that turkey hunting. It looks fucking cool. It looks super good. It's like, it's nice, but I'm like, I didn't want to tell my mom, like, Mom, I don't believe in that bullshit, but, you know, it's such a nice...
None of that bullshit. That's your mom.
It's such a nice gesture that she did, but yeah, it looks real good.
You want to know how Ross ended up going? So we thought, what do we have? Two spots that they wanted us to sell for the outfitter. And we're like, yeah, we could do that. It'd be cool to get some listeners out to hunt with us. And we did the podcast late at night. Like, it was like 9:30 when Clint and I launched it. In the morning, I was already getting text messages from Devin and Clint. Oh, hey, like, shit's off the charts. People want to go. I'm like, wow, that's incredible. Like, less than 24 hours, people are freaking out.
It's awesome.
Sold one right away, and then there's a bunch of people in limbo on the other spot. And then Ross kind of got interested and was like, maybe I should go.
I called Ross. I'm like, dude, just don't even talk. We're going bear hunting. He's like, okay. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Well, all right, I'll talk to you later.
It was to the point where I was like, is Ross going out? He's waiting to talk to his wife, and they're going to figure it out and kind of do the planning. I'm like, well, like, he's got 10 minutes, like, to figure this out because it's going to go right now. So I call him, hey, you going? I got to talk to Robin, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, you need to call right now and call me back because this spot is going to sell in the next 10 minutes. I guarantee it. And he's like, okay. Calls me back like 3 minutes later. Well, I got to buy a new furniture set for the living room, but I'm going bear hunting.
You can only go if you buy new furniture. Okay, I'm going.
Right. All right, done.
It's like, there's worse things. So yeah.
So he's going to be good to shoot his bow, right, with his hand?
Yeah, he shot that bird there a couple weeks ago, had a brace on, but
nice.
Running low poundage on a bow. But yeah, he'll be fine.
He'll be ready.
Sweet. Yep.
But yeah, that's one of those things. And then we actually sold three spots. Another listener that doesn't deal with social media basically bypassed Clint and I and just called the outfitter directly and was like, hey, is there a spot available? And the guy's like, yeah, but, you know, it's going to have to be rifle for you because I'm, you know, I want the bow hunters having the best bow hunts they can, and which is cool. But yeah, so
that's awesome.
And then I'm drawing a blank. I'm confused with a few emails, but there's a lot of people that reached out about it. So we'll have, if we do this hunt next year, we'll talk about it more. There will be opportunity to do this hunt. It's like a horseback in the mountains bear hunt. So pretty cool. Going to be excited.
Oh yeah. Wall cool. Tent, man. Wall tent camping. That's just fun.
I'm excited. That's going to be really fun.
It's going to be a blast. We did Colorado last year, or 2 years ago, yep. Elk hunting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Me, Austin, and his old man, Mark, Marky Mark.
Oh,
we,
yeah.
Yeah, we went on that Marky elk hunt. Yep. Wall tent for, were there five days? Yep. 5 days, 6 nights.
Yeah.
Those are one of those, like, big-ass tents, right?
Yeah.
That's yeah
just
yeah.
A big canvas tent. Usually has a cook stove in the middle of it.
That's the one you passed out in Nebraska? I think that's the one we're thinking of. There in at the Nebraska Deer Expo, there was like a I think like Bass Pro had one set up, but it looks like, you know, every time you see like those old time war movies, it's like, dude, is this where the generals like formed up plans and shit?
Who had the tent? You have one of those?
What's up?
You have one of those campus tents?
The outfitter, it wasn't really an outfitter, I guess you could say. It was
like a do-it-yourself hunt that we booked through an outfitter, but they already had the camp established.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
It was on public ground. We actually saw some elk, and Brennan saw a freaking mule deer that'll haunt your dreams.
We're not talking about
it.
Freaking monster.
Could have shot him.
Well, I'm talking 6 yards for,
wow.
When I say five whole minutes, when you have a mule deer at this caliber at five whole minutes, the wind was in my face. He had no
idea
what
it was. 5 hours, I bet.
Yeah. And I'm just sitting here like
points going everywhere.
Yeah. Just a non-typical monster. Huge. It's what you dream about. And,
okay.
And I'm just sitting there with an elk tag. And
probably a hard unit to get a mule deer tag, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
we've made that call before we went out. I'm like, I don't want to see a deer like that and not be able to kill it. Well, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. We had a bear tag. I saw a black bear, too. Glassed him for a while, for like 20 minutes, just walking the mountainside. And we had a bear tag, but he was far, far away. And
no kidding.
I was in elk mode, not bear mode. I'd killed a bear before. I hadn't killed an elk, so I was in elk mode.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's you always see shit you're not hunting.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wasn't it funny, like, if it's not an elk, like, I don't know. I saw an elk bugle my face in Oregon, but I didn't have an elk tag. And I thought it was really amazing, but I was kind of like, all right, move along. I'm hunting deer. Like,
right.
You know,
right.
I took it in. I appreciated the moment.
Oh, yeah.
But after it was done, I was like, all right, come on, skedaddle.
Yeah, it's time to go.
Like you forgot about it right away.
Yeah. hey, one thing real quick, like speaking of outfitters and stuff, Jordan, I feel bad because I don't actually know the pronunciation of his last name. Genzer. He's from northern-ish Wisconsin. Great dude. He actually makes like legit neon signs, mm-hmm. like the old school way, like the cool trades type way. Really, really interesting. I was talking to him about it. It's freaking mind blowing. I want to have him in. We're talking about him making a logo, legit neon sign for the studio, for the window. But I want to get him in here, and he owns a big resort that will up in northern Wisconsin. We'll do a podcast on it and all that. Maybe up there one day. But he works with Rolling Bones. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah. That's who we booked through.
Yep, that's who we went through.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Okay. He called me the other day. He's like, hey, man, I heard you on the podcast say something about how like a moose hunt's your first, like your dream hunt and whatever. I'm like, yeah. He goes, hey, I'm a hunt specialist for Rolling Bones. Mm-hmm. Would you be interested? I can set you up. You can try it out and check it out. Tell the boys about it. And I've been meaning to tell you guys, like 2 days ago, get on there. You can go and like set up what type of hunt you want.
Oh, yeah.
And then they match you with these hunts and like what your budget is and what you're looking for out of the hunt. And they have all sorts
of outfitters and everything.
Yeah, and it's all places the guys from Rolling Bones have actually been. So the reviews are legit. So when you go on there, you're not actually – you're not guessing. Like, you know what you're getting right. by what they tell you you're getting.
Right.
So
I like their service because –
The points.
I call them up and I say, I want to put in this, or you tell me which dates I need to put in that are easy to get or that are the cheapest to get, where are my odds the best? And they give you information on which units to put in for and everything. Like, mm-hmm. it takes, for an East guy, it takes a lot of the guesswork out of accumulating points. So they're actually, they get all your hunter numbers for all the different states, and they actually put in for the points for you for all the states. It takes a lot of the headache out of it.
That's who you.
That's what you need. That's what we need.
Yeah,
that's who's been doing your points all along. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's who I use.
I feel like a moron.
Son of a biscuit.
Matt gets
that shit is a headache to do by yourself.
Oh, it is.
Well, when you're an Illinois boy, you don't understand the point system. I mean, and a lot of people. Every state's different.
Should I call Jordan, see if Jordan's available? Just hop on real quick and tell us about it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Give him a ring.
Like for Iowa, me and Eric. You just go to Walmart and get a tag.
Right.
Right.
That's all I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, every Same state's here. Different. Some states are easy to draw for. Like, I could take care of a couple states myself, but you can't remember all those deadlines and, like, and all the species are different. I mean, when you're trying to build points in mm-hmm. five or six states, it gets confusing.
That's a pain in the ass, man.
Let's see. I just texted them.
I wonder if they're going to have
just call them out of the blue so and be like, hey, we're on a podcast. Just do it.
I can't do that.
Yeah, Brennan and I are going to try to team up and whack a bird tomorrow. We'll see how it goes.
But. Yep. I'll be going Saturday and Sunday.
Perfect. Guy with Rolling Bones, his name is Matt Getz.
Tagged out, but Eric texted me literally, was it Friday night? You're like, hey, I just went and got a tag. What time do you want me to be there tomorrow? I'm like, fuck. I was like, all right.
Hey, you've been killing it as a guide, man. Yeah. You've been killing it.
Should be a turkey guide.
You should be.
That counts as turkeys under your belt.
Dude, it's honestly just as fun for me. Like, when you can go out and call a bird,
that's amazing.
It's almost better, you know?
Oh, when Tyler shot his first bird last weekend, I was the guide for that. I was stoked, man. Yeah. I might have been a little more stoked than he was.
Yeah. The funniest part was on mine, we were like, Doug's like, get out there, get him, go get him, go get him. And then we're like, we couldn't figure out to get the fucking blind open, you know? So we're fiddle fucking around with that.
Yeah, it's like a buckle and not a zipper.
Oh,
so Eric's trying to find a zipper.
I'm trying to look for a zipper, you know, because when he got in there, it was dark as hell.
Yeah.
And he shut it. I'm like, where in the fuck is a zipper at on this thing?
Oh, you can just be like Brennan and dive out the front window.
Yeah, you could have done that.
Brennan's 6'8". He's just ripping a new hole in the blind.
That's what I do.
It's funny. My cousin's last weekend, when he shot it, it flopped literally to the blind. I just reached over.
Oh, nice. Mine starts running away
from
me.
Yours running away from you.
All right, I'm going to call him quick.
Let's try it.
I convinced him to go for headshots.
We don't do this often, just get people on the end of a show.
Are we still recording?
We're recording.
Just a muzzy three blade.
That's cocky.
Hello.
Hey, man, what's up?
How are you?
Hey, we're recording right now, and we are actually kind of talking about you. And so, hey, how do you say your last name?
Gensmer.
Was I way off on that?
Yeah, you were.
Anyway, first of all, this is random. Like, we're at the end of a podcast. We started talking about Rolling Bones. I didn't realize Chandler had been using it.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, oh, no shit, because I was telling him about how you told me about it. So if you want to introduce yourself quick, and then randomly we'll cut into, like, what Rolling Bones is.
Well, I'm Jordan Gensmer. I'm from northern Wisconsin, Hayward, Wisconsin. I came Rolling Bones Adventure Specialist here about a year ago. It's pretty cool. Basically, it matches the hunt to the hunter, so it's kind of like, in layman's terms, it's kind of like a dating service for a hunt.
I like
basically.
It.
That's a good way to explain that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like it's a pretty cool it's a cool deal if you don't know like out west hunting, or even if you don't know Midwest hunting, you can basically get hooked up with a hunt and it yeah, it's just a great way to match yourself to a hunt that you know you can do.
Yeah, because so it's funny. I had talked with Austin about, hey, what states are you putting in for points? Oh, I have this company does it. And you probably told me the name. It just didn't stick with me or something like that. Well, mm-hmm. Then when you told me about it a few days ago, we talked on the phone. And you kind of like, oh, check it out. Just let me know what you think. And, you know, it'd be something cool to share with our listeners. And then it's, he's like, oh, yeah, that's who I use to do all my preference points. I'm like, dang, I need to start doing that to take the headache out of trying to remember deadlines and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's kind of funny. So if someone is interested in getting with Rolling Bones, what are they? How do they? Can they contact you directly?
Yeah, absolutely. You can send me. You can send me a text message or hit me up on Instagram. My name is Jordan Gensmer on there. Otherwise, I also run an Instagram page called Pull Back and Let Go Outdoors. Either one is fine.
Yeah, and then I was just telling everybody about how you do the neon signs, like the old school style.
I'm actually at the shop right now. I surprised I had enough service for you to get a phone call in here, but yeah, I'm standing right out front right now. I was just starting to get my stuff ready and do a little work tonight.
It's awesome, man. It's a lost craft for sure.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if Eric is there, but the guy that does the TIG welding, I like love that stuff too.
That's Eric.
No, that's when you said welding the glass together, whatever that post was. I'm like, yep, you got me intrigued now.
Yep, yeah, you guys got to get up here, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, talk about the resort too, because I just told them you owned a resort, but of course I don't know all the details, obviously. But
oh yeah, we have my wife and I own a resort up in Hayward, Wisconsin. It's called Angler's Haven Resort. We have seven cabins on Lake Le Coup d'Orée. We're getting ready for season here, and we open May 1st with obviously some limitations that's going on right now, but we're hoping for to redeem ourselves here come once they lift this travel ban deal and have a normal summer, and hopefully everyone get back to normal life. But yeah, we're ready for season, and we have fishing, we make homemade pizzas, and yeah, we're just kind of that cool place on the lake that you can chill and you can come as you are type thing.
And nice. They have a WCB retreat out there.
I heard you guys sell Line and Kugels up there.
Oh, yeah, Line and Kugels. We're an honorary Liney Lodge. Yep, we...
Liney Lodge.
We're an honorary Liney Lodge. We know the Line and Kugels are a great family, and we're proud to serve their beer over the bar.
We're drinking it right now. That's why I had to bring it up. That's
funny.
What do you got going?
Dude, I'm a summer shandy geek, man.
Yep.
That is a good seller.
I could drink this all day.
Oh, yeah. All year.
It's dangerous.
They're dropping a new one here real quick. It's called Drink Wisconsinably. Have you heard of that?
No.
They have Instagram That's page. Awesome. But they teamed up with Lightning Kugels, and they're actually bringing a beer out here real quick. It should be dropping like May 1st, I'm guessing.
Oh, no kidding.
We'll have it at the bar, obviously. But I haven't tried it yet, but I hear it's good. So,
well, we got to get up there, man, do some fishing and some beer drinking and some podcasting.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Absolutely.
Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, sorry. Do they still do that lumberjack show up there in Hayward?
They do, yep.
I love that shit.
You got me on the spot, but I think it's like the July. It's either the end of June or I think it's the end of June. It's like in the 20th, 19th area. Lumberjack World Championships. Yep, really cool stuff. When Kelsey and I were dating, we used to come up to her cabin. That's how I got up in this area. And we used to go to those shows. It's super cool. If you've never experienced the Hayward area, you got to do it at least once.
Yeah, my family, we stayed up at kind of a resort, kind of similar to you guys. There was like seven cabins at Lower Eau Claire Lake or whatever. And
It was awesome. I remember, like, and they gave you that, because we went to that giant fish museum. Obviously, you have to do that, go in that
yep.
giant.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Go in the giant fish. And then you get that log signed and crammed by the Lumberjacks. You know, they're great yep. actors. And I remember I was at my buddy's house, and I saw that same log with the same printing. I'm like, dude, I have that. You've been up to Hayward? And he's like, yeah, my family has a cabin up there. And I'm like, this whole time, you know, it's a cool area, man. And I haven't been up there since I was a kid, but I always remembered that. And funny enough, my dad ran into somebody we knew up there. They're like, what yeah, are
that's how it always is.
It is
awesome. Funny how many people have been to Hayward. It's like, you know, when you live here and you're like, oh, it's just a small town, nobody knows where Hayward is. And then, like, when Kelsey and I went on our elk trip here 2 years ago, we ran into people that had been to Hayward. It's like you're out in Montana and people know about Hayward, Wisconsin. It's kind of funny, but it's definitely a cool area. Yeah, like I said, if you've never been to Hayward, you got to try it once.
Never been there. So never I got been there
you. Got to try it once. We got to try it at least once.
That's what I heard. Someone told me. I don't know.
little birdie told me.
Well, hey, man, I was going to just call you, but I would never want to be, hey, just let you know, you're being recorded.
You're on air.
I don't want to do
oh,
that.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate the heads up, and I'm happy it worked out. I'm just stepping into the shop here to maybe get some glass hot here, so maybe you'll see something on there tonight.
I will come up and try that sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. You got
yeah, that'd be fun to try.
Dude, I'd destroy everything in that. I would probably, touch but... it.
Well, Steve can't go in there for sure.
Well, I'm a sheet metal worker.
He just walks in and breaks glass.
Trips into
whatever
rack.
You could stand
is that expensive?
Yeah. No. Well, yeah, some of them are expensive. It just depends on what you're doing. But, yeah, there's some, you know, there's some vintage stuff that's expensive. And there's also some, like, you know, like guys are like, oh, I got a beer sign. Can you fix my beer sign? It's like your beer sign's worth, like, $15, dude. Like, no, I can't fix it.
Buy a new one.
That's funny. Get an LED like a normal human right now.
Yeah. Right.
All right, brother. Well, I appreciate you, man. I know your full-length podcast is coming, more about Rolling Bones. And, man, hopefully we get up there to the resort and do some fishing, some beer drinking one of these days. So
absolutely. We'd love to have you guys.
All right, brother. Awesome. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you later.
All right,
man.
Thanks, man.
Talk to you later.
Later.
Hey, that was fun.
That was fun.
But, yeah, kind of cool. That's ironic.
Very cool.
I didn't realize the same connection there.
Small world.
Yeah, should we enter there?
I think we should. Oh, wait. Are we going to hear the holla holla? Is that going to be for a Turkey Palooza?
That might be a good Turkey Palooza story.
We'll save that for Turkey Palooza. So, we'll build it up a little bit.
Stay tuned.
All you need to know is holla.
Holla.
Holla holla.
Holla holla.
Holla holla. Holla holla.
Go shoot your bow. Holla 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 holla.